Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I've literally watched all the stitches to this video, but this story that I'm about to tell today, even though it happened years ago, still gives me chills, and I feel like it has a lot to do with why I quit my job. So I used to work in long-term care, for those of you that don't know, pretty much a nursing home. I was a certified nursing assistant out of high school. This was my first big girl job, okay? So when I first started, I didn't know a lot about the different types of shifts, but there's pretty much 7 to 3, 3 to 11, 11 to 7. I worked the 7 to 3, which was 7 o'clock in the morning until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. As time went on, I slowly started to transition to 3 to 11 to work around my college courses, but every now and then I would pick up an 11 to 7 shift. It didn't take long before I started working there, where people were telling me about this one particular resident that had an issue with people of a certain color coming into his room. I didn't have too much interaction with this resident because, like I said, I only worked 7 to 3, and you didn't have to do a lot for him. Just go in and check on him and make sure he was okay. Bring him his food tray. Every now and then he might ask you for help to go to the bathroom, but that was about it. I had heard that this resident could get kind of nasty sometimes. I also heard that he had dementia, so he was like seeing stuff. And I also remember going in his room a couple times and seeing all of the mirrors in his room covered up. This is gonna come back later. So on my first 11 to 7, we'll call this nurse Patty. Patty pulled me aside and she was like, hey, this is the list of people, pretty much doing a report for when I first, you know, clocked in, starting my shift. She told me who I had, who was total assist, which I had to do everything for, and who I could pretty much, you know, let. So I noticed that this list had this certain patient's number on it, this certain resident's number on it. His room number was on there. But instead of it saying, you know, just limited assistance or whatever, it was like total assist. So I asked, I'm like, I know I have him during the day and I just go in and check on him and make sure he's okay. If he rings the call light, I'll go in. But other than that, that's about it. When did he become a total assist? So she proceeds to tell me that the night before, he got so scared and so frantic and thought something was in his room that he jumped out of his bed and fell on the floor and did something to his hip. So at this point, currently, he's a total assist, meaning I have to go in, I have to check on him, I have to do everything for him. I say, cool, no problem. I start doing my rounds, I start checking on my people, passing out ice water, changing people, as I normally do. Literally, not even 15 minutes into my shift, his call light is on. I go in, I make sure everything's okay. As soon as I get in, I kid you not, this man is literally in the fetal position. I walk up to him and I ask him if everything's okay. Obviously, when I walk up to him, I'm very careful because, like I stated before, he did not like people of my color coming into his room. During the day, he would make a big deal out of this. Like, if he could get a nurse or a nursing assistant of a different color, he definitely would. He did not pay that any mind. He literally jumped straight into, they're in here, they're after me, please help me. I'm looking like, who is they? He's like, you don't see that little boy behind you? No, I can't say that I do, sir. So it took me literally 15 minutes, and by the grace of God, I was able to calm this man down. We're going to call him Mr. Johnson. After I calmed Mr. Johnson down, I left out of the room, and I went and did my rounds like usual. Literally, not even 10 minutes later, he's back on the call light. I said, okay, maybe he's got to go to the bathroom or something. I don't know. So I went in, checked. This time when I went in the room, I noticed that the room was extremely cold. Extremely cold. When I went in there earlier, it was not cold like that. Now, the nursing home, that nursing home in particular was a little colder on a graveyard shift. But when I tell you it was cold to the point where I could see my breath cold. At this point, not only is he in the fetal position, but he is also under the covers and he is also crying. So I walk up to him. I lift the cover up. I look under the cover. Again, he's sitting under there. We make immediate eye contact and he's like, help me, please help me. So I'm trying to calm him down because whatever he's seeing, I'm just not seeing it. So I'm like, Mr. Johnson, I'm gonna need for you to cooperate with me. I'm gonna need for you to tell me what's going on so I can better assist you and we can get through this shift together. At this point, I'm doing what I've been taught to do for somebody that's going through a dementia or Alzheimer's crisis, which is what I was told that he had. He calms down a little bit and he literally just starts talking. And when I tell you this got crazy quick, It got crazy quick. So he's telling me that when he was younger, about in his 20s or 30s, he was married to a young woman. We're going to call her Maggie. Him and Maggie had just bought a farm. It was literally just him and Maggie. And before you knew it, Maggie got pregnant. Back then, it literally wasn't uncommon to have people of color hired as help to help you on the farm, to help you raise kids, whatever the case may be. This was post-slavery, but people was very much still feeling entitled to doing whatever they wanted to do to people of color. So that's the time frame we in. He tells me that months go down the line, whatever. He goes and he wakes up early one morning. He sees that his wife is a little uncomfortable. She tells him, like, maybe the baby's coming or whatever. He doesn't think nothing of it. He goes out, get on his tractor, and he does his farmer work. He has a farmhand named Tommy. Tommy is a black man, okay? Around lunch, he's guessing, is when his wife went into labor while he was still out in the field. His wife called her mother-in-law, which was Mr. Johnson's mom, her sister-in-law, and his brothers came as well. Everybody's making sure that everything's going okay. The baby is finally born at some point. When the baby is born, I guess everybody in the room looked around at each other and realized that this baby was not in no way, shape, or form white. The brothers immediately take the baby and they go outside. His mom sits there with her and they go. They snatch this baby and they take the baby outside. Meanwhile, all this is going on. Him and Tommy are still out in the field. They took this baby out into a body of water. And I will not be saying what they did to this baby, but you can only imagine for the time period. Him and Tommy finally wrap up their work for the day, and he heads back to the house. When he gets inside the house, he sees his wife sitting there with his mother. His wife is crying. His mom's just sitting there irritated and pissed off. He asks what's going on, and that's when she gives him the whole rundown that your wife was pretty much sleeping with your field hand, and this is the situation that you're in. So he asks, where's the baby? And the mom says, your brother's taking care of it. Don't worry about it. You need to figure out what you're going to do with her. Meanwhile, this is going on. His brothers have went and got Tommy out of the field. The things that they did to Tommy, again, I cannot describe it here on TikTok, but just imagine the torture and everything that he went through. They literally just left him there in that field. They left him there in the middle of the field. This man proceeds to tell me that when he finally figures out what happened and what his brothers did, they literally acted like nothing ever happened. And every night, Tommy and his son will come and visit him like clockwork. At this point, when I tell you the chills are running up my spine, literally every hair on my body is sticking up. I don't know what to say. I'm like, when they say frozen in fear, I was frozen in fear. Because it's like, as soon as he told me that story, I could pick up on what was in the room. Before, I couldn't pick up on what it was, but I could immediately feel something else in the room with us. After he told me the story, I finally got him to calm down and he went to sleep. He slept for literally a couple hours, and at this point, we're at 3:00 in the morning. Like clockwork, he hits that call light again. I go back in. I remember walking into the room and all of the sheets were taken off of the mirrors, which I thought was very strange because he wanted his mirrors covered up for a reason. I went over to Mr. Johnson and I touched him to make sure that he was okay, and this man was ice cold. He had died. As I went to leave the room to go contact a nurse, oh my God, I'm getting chills. I'm literally passing by this mirror, and as I'm headed out, on my left is the mirror. I turn and look in the mirror, and behind me, to the far wall of Mr. Johnson's room, I see a taller figure, and I see a shorter figure standing beside this taller figure that I would say is probably about the height of a 5-year-old child. I have never seen nothing like that in my life, ever. And I cannot explain the amount of fear that ran through my body, but I got out of that room so quick, I will tell you that. The crazy part is that when the nurse came in, we could not understand how these mirrors got uncovered. Even the one in the bathroom was uncovered. The one in his room was uncovered. Again, this is a man that just hurt his hip yesterday. There's no reason why he should have been out of bed taking these blankets off this mirror, and I know he wouldn't have done it anyway. Also, the fact that she felt like he had been dead for longer than I said he had. But again, I had just talked to Mr. Johnson. I had literally just talked to him. So I don't understand how a dead man talks, but maybe y'all can let me know. And when I tell you, baby, I only lasted 3 more days after that. I didn't sleep for days. I said, I'm not coming back. Y'all ain't gotta work.
Boy, have I been waiting for a trend like this, because everything that I'm about to tell you are true events that transpired to me and my family from October 2011 until March 2014. So this is the house in question, and I was able to find it online. We rented it through a rental company. After about a week of us moving in, cleaning up, we get a call from this lady who's actually the original owner of the house, and she asked us, hey, can I please stop by to see it one last time? So of course we didn't think anything of it. We're like, of course, stop by, come see it. So it turns out this lady was very sickly. I don't remember what illness she had, but she was leaving for treatment and the prognosis wasn't looking good. And she was telling us different memories she had with her family in that house. And once we get into my room, it was green and it had this cute little picket.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Fence floral. This is the only picture I have. It's not that good, but it had little bunnies and stuff. And she said, please, if you aren't going to change anything in this house, do not touch this room. I hand painted this mural with my daughter who passed away. Which at the time we didn't think anything of it. I had no plans of changing it. Plus it's a rental. We didn't want to change anything about it. Now, once this lady left is when things started to happen. Now, everything that I'm about to tell you, as it happened, it continued to happen until we left this house. So at this point, we're about 2 weeks into living here, and I'm coming back home from school. I run up the stairs to the right. There's this office space, and the door was slightly open, and the light was on. So I just turned off the light and closed the door, and I go to my mom's room. We talk about our day, and then we're gonna walk down the hallway, and we just stop. We stare at each other because I had told her about the light. The door again was open and the light was on. So at this point, we kind of just walk over, you know, we step into the room. There's nothing in there. We said, oh, how weird. Turn off the light, close the door. Now from here on out, there's little sprinklings of this light is on, this door is randomly open, after you know you had closed it or turned off that light. Nothing crazy. After that, about a month or two in, I had a little miniature pincher. Her name was Susie. She would start barking all the way at the bottom level towards the garage. Now, the way the house was laid out is that there was a two-car garage. You would go in and there was a second living room, go up some steps, kitchen, living room, dining room, and then you would go up the stairs and it was the four bedrooms and the bathrooms upstairs. But all of a sudden, Susie would start aggressively going downstairs and barking at the garage door. We didn't pay any mind to this because we thought, oh, maybe there's a lizard or some sort of animal or whatever in the garage. Until one day, my dad started seeing this creepy crawl space in the garage, the door would be open. Now, this happened about twice. Mind you, this is weeks, maybe months apart. So we don't really think anything of it. Maybe it's a raccoon that crawled out of it. I don't know. Until one day, Susie had been barking at this door once or twice a week. And one day, she goes downstairs. Mind you, all the lights are off. She's barking so aggressively at the garage door, just going at it. And all of a sudden, we hear a yelp, just, ah! And she comes bolting up the stairs, goes all the way up the second set of stairs, and goes into my parents' room under the covers in her bed. At this point, we all look at each other and we're like, what the hell? We check her, she's perfectly fine. And then from here on forth, she still barks, but she would bark from the steps in the kitchen going down into that second living room. She would bark from there. She never went back to the garage door again. Then the next thing that started happening is we would hear just stomping up and down the stairs. And we would be like, what the hell is going on? And a lot of the times, it was happening when everyone was in the house. So we were just excusing it as, oh, it's my dad, oh, it's my mom. Or my mom would think it's me, and vice versa. Until one day, it happened to all of us individually when we were by ourselves. So I would hear stomping going up and down the stairs, but I would be home alone. That continued on, and we said, oh, okay, well, I guess there's spirits in the house. Whatever, there's nothing you can do about it. We didn't feel any negative energy or anything, so we again, paid it no mind. And then I guess we must have had a little trickster spirit. All of a sudden, things would start missing and then reappearing. So let's say all of a sudden you open the drawer in the kitchen and all of the spoons are gone, and they would be missing for 2 or 3 days, and then you would open it back up and they would just magically reappear. So this happened the whole time we were there. You know, we didn't pay any mind to it. It's innocent, whatever. After the first year is when things started getting progressively more intense, more aggressive. I would be home alone after school in my bed doing homework, either with the door closed or the door open, but I started hearing scratching on my door, just a scratching sound. And, you know, I thought maybe it's Susie trying to get into the room. Until one day, those scratching noises were happening while I was home alone and the door was closed and Susie was sitting next to me. You know, I would just wait at that point until my parents got home from work and then get out of my room. Never any scratch marks or claw marks or anything. Soon after that, I started experiencing a lot of seeing shadows in the hallway or feeling like something was watching me while I was taking a shower. And then I talked to my mom about it, and she said she saw the shadows too. My dad eventually started seeing them, and it was always of a man in a suit. He had a top hat and he had a suitcase, and you would only ever see his shadow in the top hallway, or you would see his shadow while you were taking a shower and you would open the curtain and there would be nothing there. And that was the absolute worst, just feeling and knowing you were being watched. Then one day, again, I'm by myself, my parents still aren't home from work, and I'm upstairs in my room with Susie, and mind you, the garage is directly under, so whenever someone comes home, you can kind of feel a slight shake and hear the garage door open and close very clearly. So at this point, you know, Susie hears the garage door open. She goes downstairs all excited to say hi to my parents or whoever it is coming home. I'm still doing homework, so I'm not focused too much on it. And I literally hear the garage door open. I hear my mom with ruffled bags, and she's like, "Joelle, come down here. Help me with the groceries." I'm like, "Okay." I go downstairs. My mom isn't in the kitchen. I just find Susie staring with her head little cocked over at the garage door. And at this point, I start shaking. I'm like, "Mommy?" No answer. I open the garage door. It's empty. The garage is closed. No one is home. At this point, I bolt it upstairs, lock myself in my room, and I do not come out of my room until my parents come home. After this occurs once or twice more, and then after that, I completely ignore it until my mom physically comes into my room and says, "Hey, help me with the groceries," because that freaked me out, and I'm not trying to mess with anything like that. Mm-mm-mm-mm, not for me. And then one day, all of us are home. I'm in my room, my mom's in her room, my dad's downstairs in the living room watching TV, and all of a sudden, all of the lights start flickering on and off, all of the hallway coat jackets, all of the closets open up, and stuff just starts getting thrown out of it. Now, this is the closet you could see directly in front of the living room that my dad saw just rip open, and just everything was closing out. What the fuck? At this point, heavy, intense, dark energy was flowing through, and a few days later, we get a call from the rental agency letting us know that the lady who owned the house passed away that night. I'm literally getting goosebumps. And then after this, right here in that door, my mom had a little half curtain. After that day, there was this big dark shadow of a man just standing in front of the door. At first, I thought maybe it was just my reflection or something, but all of us saw it. And one day, out of curiosity, we were like, "What is that? Maybe it's a trick of the mind." So all three of us opened the door. No shadow, close it, full figure, shadow figure of a tall, big man just standing in front of the door. Now this shadow, it did nothing to us. It didn't feel any negative presence of it, but it was there until the day we left that house. Like I said, after we found out the homeowner had passed away, a lot of the activities started ramping up. It was almost every single day. And at this point, it started getting more aggressive, but it was definitely more towards me. I was the one experiencing the most. My parents saw a few things, but I was experiencing a lot of the hostility. And I don't have enough time, so I have to do a part two. All right, so we're back at it for part two of my haunting ghost stories. All of the events transpired from October 2011 until March 2014. Like I said in the previous video, after the homeowner passed away, a lot of the energy turned very heavy, very hostile, and I felt like a lot of it was directed towards me. So after that happened, I started having very vivid nightmares. They felt very real, very harmful, and every single time I had them, these were weekly, multiple times a week, I would wake up at 2 or 3 in the morning, and I started experiencing sounds and feeling things in my room after that night. And what I mean by that is, waking up at 2 or 3 in the morning, the room is pitch black, and I would hear just... Mind you, I had carpet in my room, and I would literally hear dragging feet stomps in my room, starting from my door that was closed all the way to where it would get to the head of my bed. And I could just feel a presence there, and I would just hide under the covers. I didn't want to look at it. I would pray and hope that whatever it was would go away. And after that, that occurred several times where I would hear that dragging just sound walking towards me. Eventually, it got into my bed. Whatever it was, I literally felt the weight of it lay next to me and into my bed. And again, I would just pray, and hope that it would be over. Sorry to get emotional or my voice gets shaky. It's just that was a moment in time that I was just so scared and I feared for what would happen to me at the time. And it happened a couple times where whatever that was would get into my bed and I would just pray until one time it rolled over onto me and I just felt an immense pressure on my chest, just squeezing and literally indenting me into the bed, and I could not breathe. So then that happened a few times and I would just scream, and my parents would run into my room, and the moment they did, whatever it was would just leave. Like, oh, the weight would just be lifted from my chest. And I noticed that whatever it was only ever happened in my room, and if I had any company over, nothing would ever happen. So I was either always at one of my friends' house sleeping over because I did not want to sleep in my room, or I would have them sleeping over at my house and then nothing would ever happen. And then I remember one time I had my girlfriend over. My parents were upstairs and I was washing dishes while she was behind me just hanging out, and I had my hair in a claw clip. So I was just washing dishes, we were talking, and all of a sudden I feel hands behind me on my claw clip and it just pushes my head down. And I was like, girl, quit playing. And she just looked so scared and she said, that wasn't me. And I looked at her, I said, what do you mean it wasn't you? She said, that wasn't me. Whatever pushed you just now was not me. And I could see the genuine fear in her eyes. And I turned off the dishes, we ran upstairs, and we went into our room. And, you know, we kind of laugh about it now, but it was legitimate. Whatever it was, I felt hands, and it pushed my head down. Afterwards, we had an instance where my dad was helping out one of his soldiers who was going through a divorce. So he came to stay at our house until he got his stuff gathered and situated during that time. He was at our house for 2 days before he told my dad, I cannot stay at your house anymore. He said, I might sound crazy, but ever since I was little, I see spirits. And he said, this house has a lot of spirits. The majority are good, but there's a few that are very malicious. And the only reason nothing bad has happened to you guys is because those good spirits are fending them off but they're getting weak. You guys need to leave. So at that point, he just confirmed all of the suspicions we had. And like I said, the energy was getting a lot darker, a lot heavier, a lot more hostile. After he left, I had this one very vivid dream that I remember to this day. I woke up in my dream down the street. So I was walking, kind of jogging back to my house. Everything was dark. Everything was deathly still. Not a single cricket, bird, nothing. It's midnight. The moon was out. I run into my house and there's candles lit everywhere, just like if it was a ceremony. And then I see what I can only describe as a stereotypical demon that you see, the hooves, the red skin, the horns. And he said, "I've been waiting for you." And I just bolt upstairs. He chases me and he grabs me in my room and he grabs me by the neck and he stares at me and he just says, "I finally got you." And I wake up, I can't breathe. I have a panic attack. Again, it's 2 or 3 in the morning. I tell my parents about it. So at this point, my mom is dead set on getting the house cleansed, getting some holy water. But before that happens, they're out of the house. I'm in the house alone again. And I have my room door shut at this point. I don't want anything entering my room. I have my dog. And all of a sudden I hear that scratching again, except it's very persistent. It's very intense. And I just yell at it. I say, "Leave me alone. Leave me alone." And the doorknob starts rattling and the door just bursts open. I get up, I shut the door, lock it. And then all of a sudden the scratching stops, the door handle stops. You know, I've shut the door at this point, and we have one of these. This isn't the one from the house, but it was an old metal ceiling fan like this. And all I hear is this big metal crashing sound. It sounds like a car crash. And at this point, I'm trembling. I call my parents and I said, "Can you please come home?" At this point, my parents come home. And when I finally get out of my room, speaking with my parents on the phone, and I know they've come home and it's not spirits mimicking them or anything like that, I come out of my room and we look at that ceiling fan and it is fully dented in. Whatever it was, bashed it in with one punch or throw, whatever it did. And at that point, you know, we had the holy water, we fully cleansed the house and everything died down. I didn't have the vivid nightmares anymore. Nothing was bothering me in bed or doing anything like that anymore. The only thing that was still there was, I guess, the little trickster spirit moving stuff around or hiding stuff, the stomping up the steps, and the shadow figure up front. After we fully cleansed the house and had someone come in and properly cleanse it using holy water everywhere and making sure to basically cleanse every couple of days, we didn't have any issues for the last few months of being there. And then we left March 2014. My dad got orders. He went to Texas. I was already in college, so I got an apartment in a different area in that town. And by far, that is the absolute worst experience I've ever had with anything paranormal.
Okay, and I'll go second. So growing up throughout high school, I lived in a family home with my mom that used to be my great-grandparents' house. So my mom's grandparents' house. I feel like I've always had this strong ability to sense things around me. I also don't want to sound like super duper like hippy dippy right now, but it's true. And throughout the time that I lived in this house, I always felt something, always. And there was one event that changed everything and really confirmed to me that what I was feeling was true and that the paranormal is real. So going into that story, whenever you enter the house, so it's like the front door, and then you are greeted with a staircase. It was like a little bit to the left when you walked in, but it was basically right when you opened the door. Up those stairs to the right was my bedroom. To the left was another bedroom that was more of an office for us. And then straight from the stairs, like going up straight ahead, was a smaller room that we turned into like a walk-in closet kind of deal. And there wasn't any bathroom upstairs. So the only bathroom in the house was downstairs. So if I had to wake up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, I had to wake up, go down the stairs, go to the bathroom, go back up the stairs, go back to bed. There was one night where I had to pee so bad, so bad. And usually I would just hold it because, and I probably had UTIs for that reason, but I would hold it because I didn't want to go downstairs because I was scared to death. I could just feel everything. And so one night I woke up, opened up my bedroom door, went to turn to go down the steps. I'm getting chills just thinking about it. Went to turn to go down the steps. And at the end of the steps, there was a woman standing there. She had her arms crossed like this. She had super long black hair. She was wearing like a drapery kind of frumpy outfit. And as soon as I turned the corner to go down, she turned her head like this. Her arms were still crossed. She turned her head, looked up at me, gave me like a smirk, and then turned back around to look out the window of the front door. I was frozen. I could cry thinking about it right now. I was frozen. Frozen in fear to where I felt like I couldn't scream, but also frozen in a sense of like my fight or flight kind of kicked in. So slammed my door, ran back into the bed under the covers, sobbing, calling my mom. I was telling her, there's somebody in this house. Somebody has broken in. You need to call the police. Call 911. There's somebody in this house. I could hear her getting up, turning on all the lights, saying, hello, hello, is anybody here? She comes upstairs. She's like, there's nobody here. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. And from that day on, I slept in bed with my mom throughout high school because I was deathly afraid. Not that this being was scary looking, but the fact that like I saw her was insane. There was a ton of other stuff that happened in this house that just made me feel uncomfortable. There was stuff that my mom came out and told me, but not until after I moved out of the house, because why would she want to scare me even more? There was just so much. I have so many other stories, but that is my main one that really just like sealed the deal for me. It was crazy. But yeah, that's my story.
Hello and welcome back to a series of spooky stories, The Haunted Tea Spill. This series is brought to you by all things spooky and ungodly amounts of paranormal activity. I just had to add in a jump scare. Be prepared. Hi, my name is Tina and my TikTok is at Tina's Nail Nook. I've been watching you for a while now and I figured that it wouldn't hurt to send you one of my favorite ghost stories. I've had a lot of ghost encounters in my life and I've been writing them down for a while, so maybe I can share them. This particular story is about a ghost named Tim. If you'd want me to send you any more, I would gladly. Of course. The salon ghost that followed me for 5 years. In 2019, I started working at an Aveda? I don't know. Salon in Florida. From the very beginning, I could feel something in the spa area. The energy was heavy, but not threatening, almost like someone was always standing just behind me. At first, I joked to myself that it felt like a cowboy slash native energy, like some mix of an old Native American presence or a cowboy lingering in the shadows. That's what I used to call him in my head until I gave him a name. Tim. The first time anything physical happened, I was switching laundry alone when I felt a hand gently touch my hair and pet down my upper back. Don't fucking touch me. Jumped and immediately checked around me. There were shelves holding towels just above where I was standing, so I thought maybe something had fallen, but nothing had moved. The room was still. The door behind me was closed. I knew I wasn't alone. Let me turn into Mike Tyson on some ghosts, because don't fucking touch me. I didn't say anything at first, but at our Christmas party that year, my coworkers casually brought up the spa ghost. Y'all knew this whole fucking time? One of the night cleaners said she'd seen a tall, dark figure in the mirror. The spa girls had all their own experiences, usually hearing him or catching glimpses and reflections. That's when I realized I wasn't the only one feeling it. At least you're not alone. After that, the activity picked up. One night after hours, I was doing a coworker's nails in silence when we both heard a man's voice coming from the spa, loud and clear. We looked at each other. We thought we left music on, but when we checked, everything was shut down. No lights, no sound. My coworker, who's very religious, immediately backtracked and said that she didn't hear anything, but I saw her react the same moment I did. Then came COVID in 2020. We were shut down, but I still came in to answer phones and do curbside pickup. The bathroom was in the spa, and to reach the light, you had to step a few feet into total darkness. One day, I opened the door, and it felt unnaturally dark. I took one step in, and suddenly this overwhelming cold hit me. Deep, masculine voice laughed directly in my face. Ha, ha, ha. It wasn't playful. It was wrong. I was so terrified, I actually peed myself. You know what? Valid. I had to call my boss and ask if I could go home to shower and change. After we reopened, things continued. One night while closing up, I was turning off the spa lights alone. From the switch, I could see the spa door reflect in the mirror. As I flipped the light off, I saw a tall black figure easily over 6 feet walk past the doorway. My blood ran cold. That was one of the clearest sightings I've ever had. Around that same time, the lights started acting up. They'd flicker or turn off and back on in the middle of the day, even while we had guests in our chairs. We'd all just look around each other like, yep, that's Tim. After that, smaller things were happening. I'd find brooms standing on their own, hear footsteps, see shadows, but nothing ever felt violent, just persistent. In 2021, I took a break from everything and moved to Paris, France. Tim didn't follow me there, but I had other ghost encounters that were just as strange. If you want to hear about those, I actually have videos that I can share, unlike Tim, who, despite 5 years of activity, never once let himself be recorded. Not Tim being camera shy. Yes, of course we'd love to see it. After Paris, I came back and worked at the same salon until September of 2022. Right after I left, my coworkers told me that the spa felt different, lighter. The hauntings stopped. They all said the same thing. Tim left with you. Tim's a little codependent. And he did. I started at a new salon in September of 2022. When I interviewed, the energy felt normal, but once I started, it shifted. I saw him in mirrors, heard knocking, felt that familiar heaviness. I stayed until March of 2023, then opened my own salon suite in a brand new building. Didn't matter. I built my own nail desk from scratch, and soon after, I started hearing knocking from inside of it. One day, a hairstylist down the hall asked if I'd ever seen a tall shadow walk the halls. He said she'd watch it pass her window early one morning. When she stepped into the hall to follow it, no one was there. Later, another nail tech who didn't know that stylist told me the exact same story. I stayed until April 2024. Even now when I visit, people say that the knocking continues. Shadows still move through the halls. Everyone knows the legend of Tim, the salon ghost. He followed me through 3 salons over 5 years, all right here in Florida. Never mean, never gone, just there. I don't know if we would call Tim the salon ghost because while he is only active in the salons that you're at, he's literally only active with you there. Or with you working there. Do you have some cursed object with you or something? Like, was your e-file passed down or something? It's funny that this is a story that I'm reading a couple days after my friend owns the salon that I first started working at. Just showed me some paranormal footage in her salon from the other day. The lid just flew off of a hairspray bottle while they're just sitting there talking. Shit was crazy. Anyway, rate it on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being least scary, creepy, spooky, 10 being the most. If you have a story of your own that you want to submit, you can do so on the link tree in my profile. If you need a microphone, this is a great one. If you can hear the scratching on my window, I am so sorry, the wind is blowing so hard, and that branch is going to be the end of me. This is wonderful if you do storytelling content the way that I do, or if you do podcast, want to start a podcast, great microphone to start. I've had it for like 2 to 3 years now. It comes with a USB cord, but I got a USB to Type-C adapter and it plugs straight into my phone and I've never had an issue. So if you like this microphone and you want it, she will be linked in the video. I'll see y'all at the next episode. Stay spooky, friends.
Tell me a ghost story that sounds completely unbelievable but is entirely true. I'll go first. When I was 8 years old, my family and I moved to a small town in the Midwest, and it was a farm town. It was built in like the early 1800s. I think it was part of like the Homestead Act or something. It was, had a bunch of acres, a barn that had burnt down. Like, it was an active farm back then. Lots of history. People definitely passed away on the property, that we knew for sure. And man, it wasn't like very obvious as a child. I was super intuitive and I didn't know what to do with that intuition. So I naturally got a Ouija board. And of course I dragged along my best friend and my sister and a couple other friends on this Ouija board journey, where we would go and sit at the top of the stairs to the basement and we would turn all the lights off and turn candles on and then ask this thing questions, and it responded. And I don't tell people this story, it sounds psycho. The fact that other people are there to verify all of these things and validate gives me inner peace, but I don't tell people. But it worked. And unlike what I thought would happen when it would move, you know, even when we'd lift all of our hands off of it, it's still moving, is how aggressively it moved. It wasn't gentle, it was like very sharp. And so much time would pass when we were in there talking to this entity as well. Like, we would think 10 minutes went by and it would be 2 hours, like insane. Being little kids, we wanted to know questions and answers like, who are we going to marry when we grow up? Or how many kids are we going to have? Or just questions like that. And every single time we start, you know, it would give us answers at first, like, and it would tell us about itself. And we would say, like, what's your name? And it would just say demon. D-E-M-O-N, like, over and over again. When we would ask questions about me, it would, at first it would, like, give us answers, and then it would just spell bitch repeatedly, B-I-T-C-H, B-I-T-C-H, B-I-T-C-H. Horrifying. Like, any question about me. Also, sorry if I seem lackluster, I already told this whole story and it deleted. It was so freaky. Also having, like, visuals of, like, hands reaching towards the planchet, like, in the candlelight flicker. This entity gave us details saying that it was, like, buried in the cemetery, a cemetery that was, like, local, like, the name was legit. It gave us, like, I think it either gave us a plot number or it was just, like, the last name. And we did go there, and what we found was crazy. Part two to the unbelievable but completely true ghost story that was my childhood with my Ouija board experience. Before I get started, I did not sleep from watching y'all's stitches of your horror ghost stories. And I believe all of you, and I moved the mirrors away from my bed so quickly last night, and then I fell down a rabbit hole of, like, blue sage and cedar and juniper, and anyway, neither quickly it says that the person we were talking to on the Ouija board claimed to be an 86-year-old woman, and we asked if I was gonna have a child, or if I was gonna get married, you know, like the MASH questions, and then we asked if there was, I think this is this one, yeah, we asked where she was, and she said in between life and death, and then called me a B-I-T-C-H, and then we have this other one where we ask, is there anyone else who would like to speak to us? And it says yes, and then it's, we say who, and it says demon, and then we said why, and it spelled out he knows God. Like, mind you, we all were lifting our hands up, like, watching it move. I completely forgot about this till I read it. And then we kept trying to ask innocent questions, like, what am I gonna go to college for? B-I-T-C-H. Drinking this coffee to stay awake. I'm never going to sleep again. send me your energy healing tips. But anyway, the demon that we were speaking to lied. Told us that it was buried in a cemetery. My friend says we were talking to multiple entities. I personally think we were just talking to a demon. Also, I always stutter in the morning, so. But I'll tell you a little bit more about what my friends have to say. My one friend is a mother, so she's obviously tending to her child right now and can't respond right away. And my other friend is a cop, so we're all living lives, probably trying not to think about demons. I'm just weird, I guess.
I've got one for you. So when I was 19, I moved into this house after a breakup, and I found this room on Facebook Marketplace. This girl was selling her room or whatever, subleasing it, and it was, I think, $250 a month, and I was like, yeah, let's go. So I moved into this place, and it is a very old home. It was made out of local stone, and it was on this block that all the houses were made out of local stone, and if they weren't made out of local stone, they would not still be standing. I'll just say that. They're very old. So this house had been converted into separate apartments, and I was living in a room that you had to walk through a bathroom to get to, and this room was also connected to another bedroom, but we just put, like, furniture in front of it, so it kind of felt like a bedroom. So that's where I was staying, and the first night that I was sleeping there, I was woken up out of a dream, don't know what I was dreaming about, and I saw this woman just, like, hovering over me, looking at me, and I looked at her for a few seconds, and when she realized I was looking at her, I just saw her eyes get really wide, and she looked nervous, and she disappeared. And I've never really given that a lot of credit because I was waking up out of a dream. You know, sometimes you just see things. I don't know. But then the next day when I was leaving to go do something else, you know, I was opening my door, going through the bathroom to get out of the house, I swore that I saw someone, like, crouched in the corner of the shower. And I thought that was weird. But because of the night before and how I was like, that was probably just a dream, I'm probably just paranoid right now, I'm not going to give it any credit. So time goes on, right? And I get a cat. Love the little thing. She's precious. And it gets to a point where, you know, I'm 19, I'm a full-time college student. Her food was more expensive than mine, and I couldn't afford to keep her anymore. So one of my friends took her, and I noticed as soon as she was gone that things started to get a little hairy. Like, from that day forward till I moved out, every single day something happened. Didn't matter if it was daytime, nighttime, or anything. But that little figure that I had seen crouched in the shower was a little boy, and he was very upset that my cat was not there anymore. So what did he do? He terrorized me. Like, it got to the point where I had to rearrange my room so when I would wake up and roll over in the middle of the night, I wouldn't see him, because he would stand in the corner where I had my cat's stuff as if, like, protesting that she was gone. And that was every single night from that point on. During the day, I would have hangers and clothes fly out of my closet. Did not matter. Door would open, closet and clothes would just fall out. And it became a normal thing, you know? Like, I would see him and I wouldn't think twice about it because I didn't want to engage. I didn't want to encourage it. So what I would do is I wouldn't say anything. If he was really scaring me, I'd go to someone else's house. I'd just dip out because, you know, like child spirits, you don't really know if it's a real child or not. I think this was a real child because he was just throwing tantrums and taking it all out on me. The scariest thing that ever happened with him, though, was I was doing laundry one day. I guess my cat had probably been gone for a couple months now, and I'd become adjusted to seeing him. It wasn't anything new. And I was folding my laundry on my bed, and I watched him crawl out of my closet, look at me, and crawl underneath my bed. It actually makes me sick to my stomach even thinking about it, because I don't know if you've seen any scary movie. It was horrifying. So yeah, I dipped. I didn't come back for like 2 days because that was horrifying. And before I left, though, I did get on my hands and knees and look under the bed to see if he was there. One of the bravest moments of my life, he wasn't. And at that point, I was already done. You know, I didn't care that I didn't see him. I was done. So, I mean, my laundry was clean. It didn't matter. I dipped. And from that point on, it never got that bad again. But he was almost always in the shower when I would be leaving. And the way that our bathroom was set up, like the mirror faced the shower, and there would be times where like I would be getting ready. I'm crying. I would be getting ready and I would see his little stinking head pop up in the mirror. And I had to start sleeping with a face mask because I would roll over in the middle of the night and he would either be in the corner of my cat's stuff, or he would be at the end of my bed, or he'd be in another corner. Like, it was something straight out of Insidious. And I'd say that's one of the worst ghost stories I have at that house, definitely, because I never saw that woman again. There was one figure I kept seeing in the kitchen, but I never saw their face. They only stood with their back to me. So, you know, I think our timelines were just crossing or something, but no one else in the house that lived there ever had any encounters that I know of. And yeah, so that's how I was terrorized by a little child, ghost, spirit, for having to get rid of a cat, for being poor, essentially.
So, first time I ever do a TikTok has to be this. And will I do another TikTok? Probably not. But loads of people have been coming forward and I thought, fuck it, let's do it. When I was 22, me and my then fiance, now husband, had moved in together into this quaint little cottage, which we were renting. We couldn't afford to buy. And it was in the arse end of Suffolk, and my husband was working nights part-time at this kind of chemical lab, which sounds really scary, but that was what he was doing because he's a clever clocks. Basically, I was starting to work from home, so I was home alone all the time. It was so great. This was a two up, two down kind of like old farmer's cottage-esque thing. And you know the feeling when you walk into like a bar, an old man's bar, and you kind of walk in and everyone's like, who the fuck are you? Really felt like that. The energy was thick with it. Like, that's the only way I can describe it. And I am 1,000,000% need to make this very, very, very clear. The kind of person that if this didn't happen to, I would be like, nah. But unfortunately, this happened to me. for the first couple of weeks, nothing happened, which is great. I just thought, no, it's just a weird vibe, living away from my mum for the first time, need to get used to this. And again, I've been from uni into sleepy Suffolk. Nothing happened. Until things started happening. I've got two enormous Norwegian forest cats. Huge. Point to the story. And basically, when they jump from upstairs, it is honest to God like, you know, a human, like a small child has like jumped down. It's really quite noisy. So half the time, if I hear anything, I'm usually like, okay, it's just Pookie. And Pookie is 13 kilograms. She's a big girl. So taking that in mind, I remember being in the living room. And I think I was watching the first season of Bloody Stranger Things when it first came out. Oh, I'm so old. And I remember hearing this sound coming from the upstairs. There was only two bedrooms upstairs, that was it. And it sounded like someone kind of shuffling, you know. And I remember thinking, oh, that's a bit weird. But again, this was semi-detached. So I thought, maybe it's just next door and the acoustics are a bit weird. And then I kept hearing it coming down the stairs. And I was like, ooh. Okay, that's getting a bit closer. And then it kind of stopped when it came to the corridor. I remember thinking, maybe my cat has got like sellotape attached to it. It's walking really weirdly. And then I remember kind of poking my head down because you could see all the way down to the bathroom because there was a bathroom at the bottom of the stairs. And I said it wasn't anyone that was there. And I thought, and I remember thinking, I'm going mad. I honestly thought I'd seen a head pop round where the stairs were. And I was like, nope, I'm going mad. Remember taking myself off for a very long walk. And then things started getting worse. My cats had this little play toy thing where it kind of looks like a figure of eight. And there's like a big flashing ball and you can tap it and it will flash. And that would just go off all the time, but you had to literally had to tap it. And I would look like an absolute mad woman. I used to like jump next to it and I used to be like, this, there has to be a logical reason. Maybe the batteries are low, this thing would be pushing, like it'd be like going around its track. And I was like, oh my god, what the hell is happening in this house? I was hating life. And then I started seeing him more. I would consistently see an older man's head, predominantly, it would constantly like that, and it would be mainly in my kitchen window when I'd be sitting in the living room. And I, at first, used to think maybe it's like a neighbour, because I lived in Suffolk, where God's waiting room. And I remember just thinking that maybe it's an old man that's got lost. So I used to get up a lot and just like go into my garden to see if it was someone there, because we all had like gardens that were back onto each other. No one would be there. And then it started happening in the house. Things got confirmed for me in a very big way when my husband came to me and said that I needed to stop calling his name out in the middle of the night. I remember thinking, what the hell are you on about? I'm asleep. I love my sleep. And he'd be like, yeah, you're just like constantly calling my name. And I'm like, I'm bloody not. I'm asleep. And he'd be like, yeah, you are. And then things started happening to me where I'd be upstairs, like on my laptop doing some work in my bedroom. And I'd hear someone at the bottom of the stairs saying, Annie, Annie. It didn't really sound like Callum, but it kind of did. So I remember just kind of like, hi. Nothing. It would just mimic and say my name or Callum's. Oh, it's just so horrible to think about. Ugh. And this would happen 2-3 times a week. Anytime. It could be the middle of the night, and that's when me and Callum would be like, oh my god, we're moving, we're going. And then we would sometimes hear, which in my opinion was personally weirdly the worst one, is where you're in the middle of the night and you know when you're like, you've just got to sleep, so you're kind of in that big deep sleep, you would hear someone, and when I say running up the top of the stairs, remember it was just stairs, our room, and then a room, so there wasn't even like really a hallway, it was so creepy. And this would happen, and again, a couple of times a night. And it would happen, it was on the latter end when we started like more openly addressing that we want to leave this house. Luckily we were renting, so we could just like F off and go basically. When we had finally said to the landlord, like, in the nicest way, we're going, this house is really creepy. Callum got a new job, and it was the night before we had left. So we'd hired like this little van, packed all our shit. Good God, I have a lot of shit. And I thought, okay, fuck it. I'm rewarding myself with a shower. And, to this day, this really creeps me out. Basically, I forgot to open all the windows, like an idiot. So I kind of had like a sauna experience in terms of bloody shower. I was facing the wall because it was one of those, you know, where showers face the wall. And it was like, you know what I was saying, like, the feeling of someone watching you, it really came, like, it really happened quickly, and I was like, oh, that felt a bit horrible. Never really felt it in the bathroom. And then it was like someone had, like, slapped the shower head, and it span, and I was just like, fuck this, grabbed a towel, and I put it on me really tightly. And I turn around, and on the mirror, there was this huge, fresh handprint. And that was just the biggest nope in the world for me. And I remember just literally, like, near screaming. I was like, Callum, fuck this. And I sat on the sofa. And I remember looking down, and I could see him like that round the corner of the stairs. And I remember grabbing my phone and taking a picture. And, of course, I can't find this fucking picture. But I remember sending it to my brother and my mum and Callum, but again, this is all Snapchat, which I can't get access to because it's ancient, so I need to really bloody find it. But I got it as he was fading, because sometimes I would see him and he was like, how you're seeing me, and sometimes he was kind of like grey with a really dark sockety eyes. But yeah, let's safe to say we moved. I was only back there once for mail, but I sat in the car and I was just like, demon house, hated it.
Good morning. Since you all enjoyed my story yesterday so much, I decided I would tell some more. Because like I said, I worked in long-term care facility for a while, so I have stories for days. Unfortunately, just a little warning, I don't have any story that's gonna top what I told yesterday. I told my best story first. But I would like to clarify that everything that I say is 100% true and nothing is a figment of my imagination, even though I really, really wish it was. Just a little history on me that's going to later pertain to this story. I'm a mom of two. I have a son and a daughter. I have a 3-year-old daughter that has a heart condition. So it's the peak of COVID. I'm about 5 to 6 months pregnant and I'm working the night shift again, 11 to 7. At this time, I'm working for an agency. So this agency sends me to different facilities every shift instead of just going to the same facility all the time. This facility that I went to this particular night, I had never been to before. When I walk in, the CNA that's leaving gives me a report, and she tells me everything about my residents, everything I need to know, who's total assist and who's limited assistance. She tells me about this one resident that I have, and the way that the list normally goes is that you have room numbers at least adjacent to each other. So for example, if you have room 11, usually I have room 12 across the hall, room 13 across the hall, depending on how the facility is set up. I literally had 9, 10, 11, and 16. 16 was all the way at the end of the hall. That was this resident at the end of the hall in room 16. This resident was at the end of the hall, and she was also in the room all by herself. She proceeds to tell me that when I go in this room, do not tell this resident anything about myself. If she asks anything personal, change the subject, or lie. I said, okay. I mean, she goes on to tell me that this resident believes that she is the reincarnation of Jesus Christ himself. Not the craziest thing I've heard, but strange nonetheless. So I start my rounds, working from my first room all the way down to the end. Like I said, she's room 16. Again, I'm 6 months pregnant, so I'm probably moving a little slow. I'm not even gonna lie to you. I finally get down there to her room, and this CNA that was helping me out pretty much my whole shift, she comes with me. She said, don't go in there by yourself. She comes in there with me. The resident wanted us to help her find her remote because this resident was also blind. When I go to hand her the remote, she grabs my hand. She looks at me and she asks me what my name is. Again, the CNA told me not to tell her anything personal, so I lied and I told her that my name was Ashley. She kind of smirks. She takes the remote and she says, okay, ladies, that's all I need right now. I said, okay, easy enough. This is going to be an easy night. This is going to be a breeze. I go finish up the rest of my round, and by the time I finish up the rest of my round, her call light is on again. So I make my way down to the end of the hall.
the nurse aide, she comes with me again this time. This resident was bedbound, but she could use a bedpan. She didn't want to use a brief or anything like that. At the time, we didn't have a bedpan in the room, so the CNA actually had to leave to go get a bedpan out of the supply closet. So I'm just standing there kind of waiting for the other CNA to come back. And the resident starts reciting Galatians 6 and 9. For let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. What's so interesting about this scripture is that that's literally my favorite scripture. After she says that, she looks over at me. I'm standing by the door at this point. And she asks me if I believe. I tell her, well, it depends on what we're talking about believing it. She says, do you believe in Jesus Christ? I said, yes, ma'am, I do. So she tells me, I'm the reincarnation of Jesus Christ. So anything you do to me shall be done unto you. At this point, I'm like, where is this girl with this bedpan? I wrap it up. We get on the bedpan, get everything taken care of. I leave. I go out into the little staffed area and I go eat me some snacks and drink me something. And I'm just chilling, watching Netflix. About an hour or so later, her call light goes back off. At this point, the other CNA has went outside to take a smoke break. Instead of me making a huge big deal out of it, I just went down there by myself. I'm like, she probably doesn't even need anything. I go in her room and all the lights are off at this point. Her lights weren't off the whole shift. Like I said, it doesn't really matter because she was blind, but the lights were off. She was literally sitting in the dark. I go to reach my hand on the wall to cut the light on and she tells me to leave them off. I say, okay. So I go over to her to see what she needs. She turns over and she looks at me and she says, Brittany, you're pregnant, aren't you? Excuse me? I didn't say anything. She says, you're pregnant with a little girl. That's so sweet. Too bad your baby has a broken heart. Where's your God now? This is information nobody knew except for me, her father, and my close relatives. And when I tell you to this day, I still don't understand how that woman knew such intimate details about myself when I never told her nothing like that. Y'all already know what I did. Called up my recruiter. Yes, 4 o'clock in the morning. And I told her that I will no longer be returning to this facility. I'm going to finish my shift out. Do not send me back here. And I meant every word that I said.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.